I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Covers Major League Baseball for CBS Sports. It's my colleague Matt Snyder making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parish Show, Big Interview on 92.9 FM ESPN.
So Matt, last night, a significant moment in the history of Major League Baseball. Aaron Judge became the first player ever to hit 62 home runs in a season in the American League. He did it with only 2 games left. I think for a while we had all assumed he'll get there eventually, but you know, when he stepped to the plate last night in the top of the first, he only had 2 games left to do it. Did you start to wonder or worry, to the extent that you worry at all about this stuff, whether he'd get there or not?
Yeah, I think it was actually during the first game I finally was like, you know, as you know, I have to get ready to do video in case he hits the home run. So it had been every night for like 2 weeks. And I finally was like, you know what? He's going to end up stuck on 61. He's just not going to do this. And then I was barely paying attention, and all of a sudden I saw the camera kind of zoom up, and I was like, oh, hey, there it is. So I had to hustle and get ready to go on. But I think that the concerns that he was pressing were overblown early in the early going. Once he hit 60, then he hit 61 in Toronto. I think he really wanted to do it in New York. But then I don't think that the concerns were overblown at all. You know, probably in the first game of doubleheader yesterday, I felt like toward the end of that home series against the Orioles, he started to finally swing for the fences, and he hadn't really done that all year. If you look at his high batting average, relatively low strikeouts for a slugger of his stature, considering how much people strike out these days, and he started to swing at pitches he wasn't swinging at all year. He started to pop the ball up at times when he wasn't popping up. He was missing some pitches right down the middle that he shouldn't have been missing, and I thought, you know, it's finally getting to him. I think he got to the point where he just wanted to get it over with and stop talking about it.
You know, everybody will forever focus on the home runs this season because it's a record-setting home run campaign. But he was also, you know, first in RBI, second in batting average, first in on-base percentage, slugging percentage, OPS, wins above replacement. Is it an overstatement to say what we just watched from Aaron Judge is one of the best seasons in Major League Baseball history?
It's not at all. It is absolutely in the conversation for one of the best of all time. You always have to look at context. And if you look at, for example, when people talk about Babe Ruth, it was always how much better he was than everybody else, how many more home runs he hit than everybody else. If you look at Judge, it's, if you look at his WAR in the American League, the only one that's even remotely in the ballpark is with him is a guy who pitched 162 innings in addition to hitting in the 30s in home runs. If you look at runs scored, he has 30 more than everybody else. If you look at home runs, nobody else has 40 in the American League. He's got 62. Trout has 39. He was second. RBIs, he's got a 7 RBI lead. But after that, the next, you have to go another 24. So he's dwarfing the competition kind of in similar fashion to how Babe Ruth did. And like I said, that's one of the reasons people always said Babe Ruth was the best player of all time, was because it was not just the raw numbers, which were amazing. It was how much better he was than everybody else. Well, you have to add in the context, though, that the league was segregated at the time, and that meant the competition was just a little bit easier then. Judge is dwarfing the competition at a time when it has never been better. There are players from all over the world. We don't segregate players anymore, thankfully. The pitching has never, ever, ever been better. I mean, let's just – Babe Ruth never saw a slider. He never saw a split-finger fastball. He never saw a cutter. And to have Judge dwarf the competition like that in this season, there's your argument for the best offensive season ever.
One last thing on Aaron Judge. What does a contract look like for him this offseason? Because famously, he is going into unrestricted free agency. And secondly, do you think there's a realistic chance he would actually sign somewhere other than New York?
I think there's a realistic chance. He's from the Bay Area. If the Giants decide they want to throw a lot of money at him, it's always possible that he would say, I've done my thing in New York, especially if they win a ring this year. It's always possible that he would go across the country and go back home. I still think the Yankees are the betting favorite, and sometimes home is overrated. I mean, he's been a Yankee for 7 years, so it's not like New York's not home to him right now anyway. In terms of the contract, it's tough because he should get a gigantic contract into the $300 million. But you also have to figure, he's 30 right now. Surely this is his career year, and he's never going to be this good again. Also, his injury history was not great before last year. I mean, he had the 155 games in 2017, but he was hurt some in 2018. He was hurt some in 2019. In 2020, he only played 28 of the 60 games, and I know that was a weird year. So, you know, are you going to sign the guy for his age 31 moving forward seasons and get an injury-riddled Judge who's never going to live up to this year? That has to be a question people are going to ask. I just keep coming back to this, though. If you're the Yankees, how can you let him walk after this season when you're the New York Yankees and you have all the money in the world? They have to give him whatever he wants. They have to.
Talking to Matt Snyder from CBS Sports. He's on Twitter at Matt Snyder CBS. Before we start looking ahead, let's look back. Mets were in control of the NL East basically all season and headed to a three-game series at Truist Park this past weekend, really only needing to win one game to remain in control of the National League East. They obviously got swept. The Braves clinched the NL East last night. What happened to the Mets in Atlanta?
Well, that was the thing. It was going into Sunday, and it was like, you know, everything has gone against you so far. If you just get this one game, you win the season series, you have tiebreaker, you have the lead here, you control your own destiny with the Nats coming to New York for home games. All you had to do was just win one of those. And, you know, I know a lot of people like to pile on the Mets and do the LOL Mets thing and say they choked. If you look at from the time they had a 10.5 game lead, they basically played like a 96-97 win team, and they still got run down because the Braves played like one of the best teams in baseball history from that point forward. Sometimes you just get beat, and it sucks, but sometimes you just get beat. I don't look at it as a Mets choke job unless you wanted to isolate over the weekend. Then I wouldn't argue with you because they still controlled their own destiny there. But as far as blowing the 10.5 game lead from that point to the end of the season, I don't look at that as a Mets choke job as much as the Braves just went into, like, Terminator mode from June 1st to the rest of the season. It's ridiculous what the Braves have done. And you got to tip – I played for coaches that used to say, you know, like I said, it sucks, but sometimes you just get beaten. You just have to tip your cap. If you gave your best and you just got beat on a 95-mile-per-hour slider on the inside corner, there's not much more you could have done about that. I feel like that's what the Braves threw at the Mets there.
Yeah, I mean, I made this point earlier. The Braves are 78-33 in their past 111 games. I mean, that's outrageous.
Ridiculous.
I mean,
there's just nothing. Sometimes there's nothing you can do about that. And the thing was, until this past weekend, the Mets had won their head-to-head series against the Braves. So if you say, well, they can take care of business head-to-head, they had been doing it.
I'm talking to Matt Snyder from CBS Sports. The Braves, arguably the best team in baseball, undeniably reigning World Series champions, and set up to be, you know, at the tip-top of the sport for years to come, in part because they have signed these young, talented players like Ozzy Albies, Ronald Acuna, Michael Harris, perhaps even Austin Riley as well, to these contracts that have a lot of guaranteed money, but project to be well below market value on an annual average basis. Like Ozzie Albies, and I know I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but just for listeners' purposes, he's making $7 million a year for on a 5-year contract. Michael Harris, $9 million a year on an 8-year contract. Acuna, $12.5 million a year on an 8-year contract. And Austin Riley, $22 million a year on a 10-year contract. In baseball circles, like when you and other people who cover the sport every day discuss these types of things, is that just great front officing or controversial or both?
Albies was very controversial at the time and remains the case because a lot of people said he should have fired his agent and he almost got taken advantage of at the time because that's way too low and everybody knew that was going to be way too low. On a lot of the other guys, it's kind of like, you know, other teams have done it where, like, the Rays with Evan Longoria, the Cubs with Anthony Rizzo, where it's right when the guy breaks in and you say, we're going to give you life-changing money, and if you get hurt or if you fall apart, you're not going to be even remotely worth this contract. But their gamble is, we think he's going to be way better than that, so we're going to make a lot more money off of him than we pay him. And that's kind of the situation that they had with Acuna. It's where they offered Harris the deal this year. I think Riley, like you said, is a little different because he played enough into it getting closer to arbitration that I think they knew they were going to have to pay more, and he got probably more what he's going to be worth. But, like, the key there is if it's somebody like a Fernando Tatis Jr., and maybe the Padres did go to him that early, and we don't know. And, you know, his dad played in the majors, so there probably wasn't as good of a chance to kind of pull an Albies on him. But you get them within like a month of them coming up to the bigs. That's what the Braves did with Harris here. That's what they did with Acuna. It's let's get them right away so they don't know, they can't see how good they can be. I think, like I said, at least Albies is controversial, and I think there has been some talk about Acuna as well. Like, man, they kind of really took advantage of him there. But, you know, you just don't know. I mean, Acuna tore his ACL and he came back, but what if it's a broken leg to the point where the player can never come back and play again? Well, now he's got $80 million for his family. So there's a gamble there on both sides. It's just a lot less on the team side.
So the Braves get the rest of the week off. The Mets will host a 3-game wild card series against the Padres starting Friday night. And there are reports from this afternoon that suggest Buck Showalter is leading toward going Max Scherzer in game one, Chris Bassett in game two, and saving DeGrom, hoping that you can get out of this with two straight wins to have DeGrom to go game one against the Dodgers. And if you lose one of those first two, then obviously you bring DeGrom back for game three against the Padres. Do you like that strategy?
I'm of two minds here. On one hand, I could definitely see it. And it's not like Bassett's a pushover. And maybe they went in two anyway, and then you've got DeGrom there. You know, and of course the argument, as you said, is surely we're going to get one of those first two no matter what. We're not going to lose with DeGrom on the sidelines. And then if we do, we've got DeGrom for game three. We're good to go there with, you know, arguably our best. It's 1A and 1B, or just both 1A with him and Scherzer. I can see the mindset there. It also, when you set it up like that, you just wonder, what if everything goes wrong in game two and then Bassett gets lit up, or in game one and you lose, and then Bassett gets lit up in game two and you lose and you didn't even use DeGrom? There's always that worry that, why didn't I just go with my best right away instead of saving a guy? And it's the whole you can't dance until you get to the prom thing, you know? So I feel like I would rather just go with my best right away and sort it out after that. But I can understand the mindset that Showalter would be going with here.
Is it practical from a baseball perspective to tell DeGrom you're not pitching unless we lose
or something like
that's
that?
That's right. Like, yeah, hey, you're not scheduled to pitch Saturday, but if we lose Friday night, you're pitching Saturday.
It shouldn't be as big of a deal. As long as they're all on at least normal rest, it should be fine, and most guys can deal with it. But a lot of times you talk to pitchers or you talk to pitching coaches and they say starting pitchers have a routine leading up to their start that they do this 2 days before they start. They do this the day before they start. And if you throw them off the routine, they might not throw well. I think it's probably overthinking it instead of just saying you're pitching game two no matter what. You know, like I would just we're getting too much in the weeds if you ask me. Instead of just saying I've got Scherzer and DeGrom, let's throw them in games one and two. And if we happen to get to the next round and we need to figure something else out, that's fine because I needed to do what I needed to do just to advance.
Talking to Matt Snyder from CBS Sports. Just a couple of more things. Justin Verlander was terrific again last night. He is probably about to become just the 11th player in Major League Baseball history to win at least three Cy Young Awards. I was looking at it earlier, and I'm not implying anything. I'm just interested in it. He had five straight years in his early 30s in Detroit where his ERA was above three. And at the age of 39, he just recorded a 1.75 ERA. He's the second oldest person to ever lead Major League Baseball in ERA behind only Roger Clemens. Is there an explanation for how Justin Verlander went from looking like maybe he's on the downside of his career to looking like literally the best pitcher on the planet?
Yeah, I think that the Astros are well, I'll get to them, but I think the Tigers player development got to the point where it went kind of in the tank in the second half of the last decade, and we've seen the fruits of that labor right now. I mean, Casey Mize was the number one overall draft pick, and he came up and he was kind of decent to okay last year, but not great. They're not getting the best out of their arms, and it's guys who like Michael Fulmer or Manning. You know, there's just a lot of different guys who it doesn't seem like they've gotten everything they can out of them, and I just wonder if earlier in his career, he was totally reliant on being a power pitcher when he won the MVP in 2011, and that was all he could do. And once he lost a little bit of that power, which, as you see this year, he's not near the top in strikeout rate. And once he got to Houston, they helped him kind of hit another level because they're so good at getting the best out of everybody. They took Garrett Cole to another level from when they got him from the Pirates. Charlie Morton specifically told me some of the things that they were doing when he went there, and he became a different pitcher when he got to Houston. I think the Astros really brought out the best in him, and he's learned how to pitch instead of just overpowering everybody. But in addition to one of the things the Astros have done best is teaching their guys to miss. And Morton, one of the things he told me was, I always used to try to get ground balls. All I was worried about was getting ground balls. And when I got to the Astros, they showed me, but if you throw your slider here, you get misses. If you throw your fastball here, you get misses. Why don't you make them miss instead of putting it in play? And it's just a whole new mindset. Now, I do think Verlander was more of a strikeout pitcher, but it just goes to how I think the infrastructure in Houston for pitchers, they get the best out of everybody, and I think that's a big part of it.
That is Matt Snyder from CBS Sports. Make sure you're reading him, cbssports.com, watching him on CBS Sports HQ, and following him on Twitter, at Matt Snyder.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.